www.kickstandradio.com. Kickstand Radio Takeover on Blog Talk Radio's IS Sports. I'm Mike Zucker, along with the William Wallace of New York sports fans, Jason Coppell. We are so pumped to be on here tonight, so thanks for joining us. It's All-Star Game weekend here in New York, where sadly, MSG is going to host the most important NBA game of the year here in New York. And we're here to talk everything Knicks basketball and why we're looking to yet again put some billboards up. And we're so grateful to have a special guest with us tonight, Irving Bierman. We're all victims of the oppression of James the Terrible, but no one has been more of a victim of the wrath of Dolan these days, or I guess this week, than him. So we're excited to have him join us in just 5 minutes. Jason, you've been sick with the flu the past week and still on the media rampage as usual. What's that been like?
Yeah, well, I guess I was victimized by James Dolan blues voodoo or something like that, because the second that we hit send on the that we uploaded the website, I came down with a crazy flu, and for about 2 days I was in bed. But I'm back on my feet, and I'm excited because the All-Star Game is in town, and by some miracle, I heard Carmelo Anthony's feeling a little better, and he's going to suit up.
All of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, it's the game is going to be nationally televised. Some, you know, the record is 0-0, so he'll suit up for it. And, you know, it's just it's come to the point where that's going to be the most important game at the Garden this year, and that is just sad. You say you've been sick. I think I've had the flu from James Dolan for about 15 years now. So.
Yeah, but Mike, you know, Melo's he's going to show some of these potential free agents around town. He's going to schmooze them. He's going to take them to Shake Shack. He's going to, you know, he's going to take them up to the local bar, show them that New York's a great place to play. So, you know, I guess we got that going for us, right? I mean, he's after this, supposedly he's going to shut it down, and you know, but our beef today is not with Melo. That'll be on Sunday. Today, you know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm excited that we finally have a blockcast. We've been talking about doing this for quite some time. We were going to do it for the Jets, but that situation handled itself, and John Idzik is gone, and so that was a beautiful thing. But you know, after the events of the past week with you know, with this Irving Bierman email that was sent out by James Dolan, you know, we were sprung back into action, and we you know, it was time to make some things happen on the Knicks front.
Yeah, you're like, you got the Spider-Man thing going on. You know, you want to just be the Peter Parker, and then Dolan's last emails, and then, you know, with great power comes great responsibility from the movement. So up again out of your seat, you know, click the TV off and right back to the computer to try to continue the revolution here in New York.
Yeah, and you know what? It's the Godfather moment. Just when I thought I was out, they sucked me right back in, right? So anyway, as you said on the intro, you know, we are very happy today to have a very special guest on the line with us. It's Irving Bierman, 73-year-old Irving Bierman, who was victimized by the email of James Dolan, and we want to welcome him to the show.
In case, you know, just a little bit of introduction, in case you don't know for some reason, or in case, you know, maybe you're listening outside of the New York area, he was the victim to the email where he was just giving his gripes to Dolan as an owner, and Dolan verbally attacked him. So we're going to have him come on. So
are you there?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Irving, how's it going, man?
Very well, thank you. How about you guys?
Oh, we're so psyched to have you tonight, Irving.
So yeah, I guess you guys are pretty cold right now.
Yeah, it's, you know, for those who don't know, Irving lives down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So, you know, it's definitely a lot warmer down there. What are we, about 12 degrees up here, and, you know, there's nothing fun about that.
It's this kind of cold weather that would drive anybody to start going up and trying to put billboards against the Knicks, I think. So, you know, what about you? What's going on down in South Carolina? I mean, obviously, you're watching the Knicks like we all are and getting headaches over it. So I think, you know, what we were wondering was, you know, what was that – John Idzik press conference type moment where you said, all right, enough is enough. I'm going to email him now because I've had it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really been going on for a very, very, very long time. But, you know, it's like when Phil Jackson was hired, that was like, holy cow, that was terrific. You know, it's an opportunity. You know, cause basically Jackson to me was old school, you know, the Knicks of the 70s. You know, he used to be referred to as Action Jackson. I mean, yeah, he was a role player before they defined the word role player. But this guy was awesome on the court as far as defensively. I mean, he was harassed. They're good players. They're tall players. And
he was an okay coach too, right, huh?
Well, I'm saying yes. Yeah, since then, absolutely. You know, I mean, but when he coached Chicago and the Lakers, but you know, but he had a couple of different things out there. It's called talent. You know, so that was, you know, that was another issue. I mean, Jordan needed Pippen. I mean, you know, one person doesn't make a team. And unfortunately, that's what basically Dolan's philosophy has always been. I mean, again, that from
go
a fan's point of view.
Go in the backseat, Dolan.
I mean, you know, you can't bring on a player and expect that player, you know, to affect the entire franchise.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, basically, when Patrick Union was drafted and he had Bernard King, from my perspective, that was a great opportunity. Unfortunately, Bernard got hurt. And then, you know, the next 4 or 5 years, you know, the Knicks made quite a run. And it was great from a fan standpoint. Because, I mean, like Starks had nothing but guts. I mean, this guy had heart. And it was great watching him. Unfortunately, when he shot 2 for 20, it killed everybody. But the point is, what a game. I mean, he played his heart out. And no fan can hit him in the head for that. And since that era, I mean, I guess when Dolan took over and his intelligent wisdom, you know, in fact, he was quoted as saying, I know nothing about basketball. So he brought on a heavy called Isaiah Thomas. And Thomas was an awesome basketball player. I mean, I adored him from a fan standpoint as a player. But the bottom line is, you know, as a president or running a franchise, a disaster. I mean, an absolute disaster. And that was just the beginning, you know, regarding with Dolan. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then, as I said, when Jackson came on, you know, it was like, holy cow, maybe it's going to be, there'll be a change. You know, maybe things will improve. And then I had read some pieces about lowballing Steve Kerr. And this was Jackson's, you know, this is what Jackson wanted, Steve Kerr. And Dolan allegedly was saying, look, I'm going to, you know, I'll let you do whatever you want, Phil. I'm going to stay out of it. And from my standpoint as a fan, awesome. And then Jackson wanted to hire Kerr. And then behind Jackson's back, allegedly, Dolan started interfering and he lowballed him. And then I just got to a point that was like, holy cow, let's cut the crap. I mean, bottom line, I mean, what are you doing for the fans? I mean, the issue is the NBA grew because of people called FANS. I mean, without the fans, these franchises would be nothing. And then, you know, the issue is then, and that's where it is today, where you have 30 owners who basically, you know, controlling multi-billions or millions of dollars at the expense of the fans. I mean, it's like, even like today's game, like the All-Star game. I mean, $1,000 a pop to get in there?
We were looking at trying to get some tickets, Irving. 400 level seats for $1,000, totally out of control. That's what Dolan's done to the arena. I mean, basically, he's squeezed out, all the fans. I mean, everybody's there either for free, as a client or on some kind of corporate expense account. And that's the fans who are inside of the stadium nowadays. So you have what you have. I mean, was there when you sent the email, was it after a game or was it after a, moment?
No, it just, again, it was an accumulation. I understand. You know, and I sent it, I just sent it. You know, that was just from a fan standpoint. I mean, I was really, you know, like annoyed. I mean, this has been going on for, since 52. I mean, the franchise.
Well, Irving, he so from what I had heard, you searched to email him about 10 different combinations of what you thought his email might be, right? Like JD,
yes.
Cablevision, you know, Jimmy Doles, James Doles, you know. So
no, absolutely true.
I find that funny because obviously, you know, that you must have been so outraged at the product and so fed up that you needed to make sure, you know, you got your voice heard. And we thank you because, you know, you spoke on behalf of all of us, you know.
Well, and listen, there's no doubt in my mind that 99.999% of the Knickerbocker fans feel identical to me. I mean, period. I mean,
you raised a good point about the 90s team and talking about Starks and when they had Patrick Ewing. And they were a team. You know, they had point guard play. They had, you know, role players, Harpers and Bonners and Greg Anthony's and Anthony Mason. And what you've seen, in my opinion, in the last 15 years is reaching for, you know, overpaying to win now, to try to, you know, fix it quick. And have that New York win the back page of the Post mentality rather than taking a step back and winning the right way. And even though James Dolan says that he's going to stay out of it now, I don't trust it any longer. And Phil Jackson's a smart mind, but so is Donnie Walsh. You know, Isaiah Thomas has had success before.
Right.
And, you know, it's a cultural thing, in my opinion. I see that, you know, he has his finger, you know, his thumb on these guys, and he's putting pressure to spend money. And, you know, look at wins in the NBA right now. Are you going to get a LeBron? No, you're not going to get a LeBron. Nobody does. So the teams like Atlanta and Golden State and San Antonio sustained success, building from the ground up, and I don't think he has the patience or the wisdom to be able to evolve and understand that's what you need to do. They're already, unloading for free agency. Great. You know, who are you going to get that's going to fix it overnight? I see the same thing going on that's been going on for the last 15 years.
Unfortunately, I agree. I mean, as much as I have respect for Phil Jackson, I mean, to me, the answer is not getting one or two or three, and I quote, superstars, you know, and put them together. You know, it is a blend. You know, when it comes to basketball, it's a team sport. You know, you have to blend together as a team. There was a team in the 70s, you know, with, you know, and actually the Knickerbockers, they had six. That number is SIX, six all-NBA greats. And you know what? They played team basketball. You know, they had a coach called Red Holtzman. And these guys were, to me, the best player on the Knickerbockers historically is Willis Reed. I mean, in that final game, he came hobbling out in the court and made two quick baskets. And then Clyde said, okay, guys, move over. I'm taking over the game. And Frazier put on an absolutely awesome performance against the Lakers. I mean, it was absolutely incredible as a fan. I mean, the team was just awesome. I mean, it's like I don't think there was a fan in New York who was not walking on air. I mean, that was just an absolutely incredible game, series, whatever you want to call it. But cemented, you know, the fans and the Knickerbockers. I mean, that made them the top franchise, you know, one of the top four or five sports franchises in the world.
Absolutely. Irving, I want to get your comment on something real quick.
Sure.
Tonight, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but actually James Dolan gave a half-hearted almost apology for the email that he sent at a charity event in Manhattan. I want to read to you what he said, actually. He said, I got sent a bad, hateful email. I generally don't respond to the bad ones. This time it just caught me at the wrong moment, and I responded, sort of tit for tat. And I knew I shouldn't have done that, and I did it anyway because it made me angry, because it was a personal, hateful attack. What do you think about that? I mean, he never actually said he was sorry. He just kind of said, you know, he shouldn't have done it.
I can't speak for him. I mean, honestly, I can only give you from a fan standpoint. I mean, it's a personal opinion. I mean, look, hey, that's Dolan's perception of the universe. What else can I say? You know, I mean, he thought he did what he had to do. And honestly, I won't comment in any way, shape, or form.
Okay,
I mean,
fair enough.
It's not a pissing contest. You know, I'm not out to get anybody. I mean, if something, you know, it's, I will say this, okay? Can you imagine with, you're in a room with Putin and Obama, and Putin pisses off Obama. You know, what do you think Obama's going to do? Forget what he does in the public, you know, and what he does one-on-one is different. I mean, it's just like, for example, and I'm not indicting Adam Silver, okay? But Adam Silver, you know, says Dolan is a great, you know, a consummate New Yorker. Hey, look, let me tell you something. If 30 guys paid me $10 million and I was responsible to 30 guys, what else would I say? I mean, come on, be real. I mean, these guys are not up front. That's the frustration. I mean, it's a con after a con after a con.
Totally understand, and I'm right there. We're right there with you. We appreciate your
bottom line,
because
we're all 15 years of age, okay?
All of us.
I mean, that's how we thought when we were 15 is how we think today. As far as being a sports fan. I mean, being a Knicks fan.
So what are you know, moving forward, are you a little fed up? You know, next year, are you going to be giving them the same chance and the same enthusiasm that you've always given? Or are they right, you know, you right on the fence to ready, you know, at this point to just say that, you know, you've had enough, you rub the wrong way so much that you're not even going to really be interested in being as big of a fan as you were. Is it getting to that point?
No, never. I mean, I'm a fan. What else can I tell you?
Basically, you know, we feel like we got to do what we got to do with this billboard, because Dolan knows that no matter what he does, being a fan of any team really is gotten to the point, really. I mean, these guys can't even screw it up. No matter what they do, it's, you know, the fans are going to keep coming back. And, you know, so yeah, we're just trying to figure out a way to hold him accountable for the way that he acts. I mean, you know, it's not just the emails. It's you know, a whole laundry list of things that was culminated, you know, by this email where we just decided that, you know, we'd had enough of the way that he treats the fans. But
how dare he get so personal with you to, you know, question your relationship with family, you know, question your character, call you, you know, an alcoholic. That's an unbelievable testament to his professionalism. I was shocked when I saw, not that he emailed you back a little angry, but the content of it. And
I didn't love his email, quite frankly. But hey, look, he is what he is. But see, to me, it's just like, it just demonstrated to me the essence of the problems with the Knicks. I mean, here you have somebody, you know, who is a billionaire acting that way. I mean, I don't care. I mean, whatever words I said or anybody says to that type of a person, you know, you're above that. I mean, look, I mean, that's the way that you are. I mean, it happens. You have to deal with these things. I mean, it's just the idea that it's, you know, look, he is what he is.
All right, great. All right, well, listen, Irvin, we really appreciate you being on, you know, and calling in and everything. And, you know, we're going to go take a break, and, you know, we'll come back shortly. But definitely thanks for calling in, and, you know, we will definitely be in touch.
Hey, my pleasure, and take care, okay?
Thanks so much.
You also take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And he is, that is just, honestly, my feeling as Dolan of an owner, you know, compared to, you know, I never usually get personal with it, but that just kind of shows the kind of guy he is.
Well, yeah, look, I spoke to his wife. I spoke to Aaron Bierman, his son. I mean, just a great family. And, you know, I'm definitely no fan of, you know, of what went on there. But, you know, when we get back from break, you know, I have my own opinion about that email that I want to discuss. And let's see if it has any legs. I'm curious if anybody else feels the same way. So, yeah, so we're going to take a break.
And feel free to call in. You know, we'd love to hear from anybody about their feelings on the state of the New York Knicks, your feelings about Dolan, or about what we're doing, having a fan coalition to speak out and put a billboard up. The number is 646-200-3230. We'll be right back.
La música de Harry Frost.
This is it, huh? Ocho, A6, huh? Get in the sun, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey yo, all I wanna do is take my bitch to Atlantis. All I wanna do is sell a brick in the Hamptons. We were 17, had coke on the campus, working off grams. You was working on your grandma. Was told if the cops ask questions, don't answer, and never show up to a deal with no hammers. Nowadays, my custodies is my best friends. My best friends doing bids in the Fed pen. I got a stake in the drug game and keep a face in my lap who don't even know my gov name. Just bills, low profile Jackson, newspapers and cigars, cause I'm old fashioned. Love a bitch who gon' give me head with no gagging. All she need is a shot in life, two aspirin. Fist fights in the playground, I kept jabbing. 10 years later, niggas was shooting and stabbing. His case unsolved, niggas know who clapped him. And all they did was pass his mom a few nagging. Low cut wave spinning, but I'm do racking. I can't stop till my cars and my jewels matching, nigga.
And you're listening to IFM Radio.
All right, and we're back. So here's what I'm thinking. I want to read this email that he wrote to Bierman, actually. And, I want to get, Mike, I want to get your take. It is a thought that I had that really I haven't seen brought up anywhere in, with any of the media, and I'm surprised that it wasn't. So Dolan's response to Bierman was, why would anybody write such a hateful letter? I am, period, just guessing, but ill bet your life is a mess and you are a hateful mess. What have you done that anyone would consider positive or nice? I am betting nothing. In fact, ill bet you are a negative force in everyone who comes in contact with you. You most likely have made your family miserable, alcoholic maybe. I just celebrated my 21-year anniversary of sobriety. You should try it. Maybe it will help you become a person that folks would like to have around. It's interesting, Mike. I mean, okay, so you and I would say, have definitely sent and received our share of drunk texts and emails in our lives, no?
That usually sounds like a text that I would be speaking about somebody and then accidentally send it to them. You know what I mean? You ever have that happen?
Or forget that you sent and then see the next morning and say, what was I doing? But, okay, so in this email, James Dolan bizarrely, strangely, oddly brought up that this guy possibly is an alcoholic, knowing nothing about him. Is this James Dolan falling off the wagon, Mike? I mean, was this James Dolan in his 21st year of sobriety celebrating it like it was his 21st birthday with 21 shots?
Well, I think a good indication. I'm curious to see what the time the email was received. Like, if this was like a 4:30 a.m. text where, you know, maybe the medium, you know, started spelling things correctly, but it sounds a little slurred.
Yeah, I don't know. And speaking of spelling things, Mike, you said, here's something funny I noticed. Do you find it a little bit ironic in any sense of the word that, that the only fan that James Dolan has ever responded to via email, his last name is Bierman.
So out of all the hateful emails, I think this is the one that caught his eye, where he was just like, Bierman. Okay. And he started, and then he just maybe blacked out the email, woke up, you know, in a pool of his own shame surrounded by some Milwaukee's best and just dollars everywhere that he's just taken from us. And just, oh, what have I done? This is going to look bad.
I just can't figure out for the life of me. And it's funny because I have another group of friends that I grew up with in Teaneck, a great bunch of guys, and we, you know, we all went to Boston, you know, the year that we finally got back to the playoffs and we got swept, but we were all at game one. It was a fantastic trip. We've been on
was that the game where $30 million man Jarrett Jeffries missed a wide open layup with like 20 seconds left?
I don't think so. No,
no, that must have been a different game.
Yeah.
He was worth every penny. And the
no, it was a great game. We lost, you know, on a late three. But don't bring that up. I don't need to get depressed. Anyway, when I first saw that email and I sent it out to those guys, I texted it out to those guys. You know, I remember, one of my really good friends texted back and said, "No, there is no chance in the world that James Dolan actually wrote that email." And then the second response that we got was if he sent that email, and it was in fact James Dolan that sent that, there's no way he's going to admit that he sent that. And why would he ever admit that he sent that? That's the crazy thing. I mean, you know, you almost have to give him credit, I guess, in a sense, for not denying it. I mean, he didn't lie. He didn't say that some kid snuck into his computer, you know, or you know, he had his nephew or somebody, you know, out at the office that day, and somebody just responded. I mean, it would have been easy to say that because of the childish way that it was written, but I don't know. That's just my opinion. That looked like a drunk text to me. Anyway, we
know what a drunk text looks like. Our detective skills tell us that there's some alcohol involved. All right, I think we have a caller. If they're still with us.
No, I think we lost them. All right, so we'll just continue. Mike, you know, and here's another thing I wanna ask you. Things being what they're actually, I guess we do have a caller. I'm sorry. What do we got?
We're just winging this, folks, by the
way. Absolutely.
Yes, hello, am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Yes, big supporter of the Knicks for sale cause, and I've been following this since the news articles broke. The couple of things. The email itself did appear to be kind of a drunken response or something. It was poorly written. And I was very surprised that Dolan actually took ownership of writing the email because it didn't appear that it was done by any professional. It was very bizarre.
Well, that's where I'm going with that. I mean, because the thing is, he's a college educated, you know, billionaire. To see that text, to see that email, it was shocking to think that could have come from a person who's the CEO of Cablevision. I mean, you know, that looked like it came from somebody who was in the, you know, the shipping department or something. So, we were shocked too.
Well, thanks for the call. Obviously, and we're glad that you support us. You mentioned that you're surprised he took ownership of it. James Dolan has been taking ownership of, you know, catastrophic decisions for a long time, so it doesn't surprise me one bit. But, you know, as are you a Knicks fan?
Oh, yes, a big Knicks fan. I've been a Knicks fan my entire life. And it's been a very frustrating 15 years. You guys have obviously hit on this on your website, and it appears you guys are hitting the major points. It seems to me that the Knicks fans really have stood by Dolan here, not because of his incompetent decisions, but just because there's something about basketball that's kind of entrenched in the New York psyche. And if Dolan was anywhere else, people would stop going to the games. You look at teams like the Miami Heat, who have horrible fans who don't even go to the games when they're winning championships. And if Dolan was down in somewhere like Miami, the only two people left in the stands would be Justin Bieber and Isaiah Thomas. It's just, well, it's unbelievable what New York has stood by throughout all these years.
Well, you know what? It's not New York fans standing by it. It's corporate New York standing by it because the fans who are, and I know this because, to be completely honest, the price of tickets has gotten so out of control. I haven't bought a Knicks ticket in so long. The only time I go to Knicks games nowadays is when I go with my cousin on his corporate account, and we get great tickets, and we sit down on the floor with all the other guys in suits, and you know, we get comp drinks, and we get, you know, we have a great night, but we don't pay for it. And, you know, and to be completely honest, nobody down there cares if the Knicks win or lose because, you know, it doesn't matter because they didn't pay a dime for their tickets. And you know, they're just happy to be entertained and brought to a ball game. So, you know, we definitely, you know, that's the problem is that there's nobody holding them accountable because at the end of the day, wins and losses, as you see by the MSG's stock prices, don't really matter to his bottom line. I mean, he doesn't care about the average fan, which is why he has no problem getting on his computer and sending an email to one of his fans telling him he's a drunk and go work for the Nets. And we as you know, fans and creators of this platform to give the fans a voice for the Jets, you know, we decided that we would try and do something to, you know, to give the fans a voice and hold these billionaire, you know, entitled, you know, moron owners accountable and show them that, you know, somebody's going to stand up to them finally. And, that, you know, so that's what we decided to do.
If this guy was in any other business, he would have been gone a long time ago. The only reason he's able to be the owner is just because this is something that was handed to him. He's shown his incompetency. The team's been through players, coaches, management changes, and it appears the one constant is this guy, which is why we're constantly in the bottom of the cellar here. And you guys have hit all his bad decisions on your website. I'm a big fan. I really like what you guys are doing, and hopefully we could see something. I don't know if Dolan will ever actually have the realization that the site is going to illuminate him somehow. But, you know, it's definitely good to at least voice the fan concern and give a platform to fans
to
express
their
displeasure with the team.
That's all we're looking to do. And we end up with the support, and, you know, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Keep it up, guys. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, and as that caller hit on, you know, basically at the end of the day, it is really important, you know, to point out that while the name of the website is Knicks for Sale, we don't have any illusions that James Dolan is going to actually sell the Knicks. You know, the only point is that we are trying to organize the fans to give him a voice to stand up to him in the future, and show him that there are going to be repercussions and you know, embarrassing situations for him if he continues to embarrass the fans and the franchise in the manner that he has chosen to.
Well, I think something that he was, you know, also alluding to about the fact that it's New York and, you know, comparing it to other cities. New York City, people forget, you know, how much we love basketball and how much we're dying for the Knicks to be relevant. I mean, look, when Jeremy Lin was good for a week, we were crazy. You know, when's the last time that you put on MSG and heard that little jazz jingle before it started and really felt like the game meant anything? Remember when, you know, a Knicks game or a Knicks ticket felt like the hottest ticket in town? It's become such a distant past that we've almost forgotten, you know, how much the Knicks mean to this city. So when people ask us why we're doing this and why, you know, what do you think is going to happen, we're trying to promote the fans' voice because we know people care. So if nothing else, we want him to realize that, look, you know, you can't just be a fly-by-night owner who thinks that this is your little toy. No, this is our team. And whether we can literally take it back or not, you know, we're going to show you that it's not good enough. And we're not going to just, you know, sit on our hands and be polite about it. We're going to speak up. And it's just, you know, it's unacceptable. And then, you know, lashing out at fans is unacceptable. So this is really a culmination of a long time. And, you know, I have a lot of gripes with things that he does, you know, with – I just don't think after this period of time that he understands how to evolve and build a team the right way and doesn't really learn his lesson from past mistakes. We have a caller coming in, so go right ahead.
Hey, you're on with Jason and Mike from Knicks for Sale. Who's on the line? Anyone?
Unique New York. Is anyone there?
I guess we'll just continue on. Mike, did you with Powerball fever in you know, in effect this week? Did you buy? You happen to buy a Powerball ticket?
Sorry, I blacked out for a second. Well, no, I didn't. I haven't. I think it's actually at this point a little irresponsible not to buy one. I think for what it's up to, but I did not. Did you?
I actually didn't. This is probably the first time that the Powerball has ever gotten up to that level. And I'll tell you why I didn't buy a Powerball ticket. Because I don't think that $450 million or $500 million for that matter, that is quite what it used to be. And I'll tell you why. Because I was looking at the way in which James Dolan spends $500 million. And why don't you let me break you down a little laundry list of how James Dolan has spent $500 million.
Kick some knowledge on me.
I got you. 7 contracts, $500 million. Let me give you 7 names. Amari Stoudemire, Allen Houston, Jerome James, Stephon Marbury, Eddie Curry, Jared Jeffries, and the head coach, Larry Brown. Let's discuss what we got out of that. About a good season out of stat, patches of solid play and a lot of injuries.
A max contract to a guy with bad knees and a bad back because we couldn't get LeBron James, couldn't get Dwayne Wade, so we needed to get the one guy who wanted to come here so we could make a splash and gain interest for short-term success, which doesn't work, but go on.
Allen Houston, a guy who we signed for $100 million that nobody else was even going to offer $75 to, that a contract that was so bad that they actually created the Allen Houston rule because of it. And
I don't play by the rules, so you're going to have to let me know what that one was.
The Allen Houston rule basically states that you can get out of the contract. Allen Houston only played for 4 seasons out of the 6 or 7 that they had on that contract. Complete disaster. Jerome James, obviously. I mean, we don't need to talk about how terrible that contract was. Stephon Marbury, another one. Eddie Curry. I mean, forget about how much money we gave Eddie Curry. The draft picks that we gave up for him brought in LaMarcus Aldridge and Joakim Noah. So you got to know with that.
I love the Stephon Marbury deal because I love overpaying for a selfish point guard who's never won anything, doesn't make his team better, and gets coaches fired. So I'm going to support Dolan on that one. But
Jared Jeffries, why don't you drop some Jared Jeffries now? What's your favorite Jared Jeffries moment as a Knick?
I would have to say, other than his several tip-in lay-ins and some good solid defense for $30 million, I think the press conference where they brought him in and gave him a jersey and took their little pictures, I thought that was just an embarrassment and just a nice little embarrassing cocktail of awfulness that just was, we're going to get a nice, good free agent in here. And we brought an undersized 6'8" power forward, small forward, doesn't have any offensive game.
And the Larry Brown $60 million contract, at which he coached for 1 season?
Well, when you're in the culture of a James Dolan organization, Larry Brown didn't get stupid as a coach of the Knicks. He obviously didn't get along with Marbury. I think that's well documented. And, it's like anything else. You can pay a boatload of money for people, but when the infrastructure of the organization is a mess, it's not going to work. And Larry Brown, he lasted 1 full season, I think.
Yeah, Larry Brown, I mean, he was here for a season and constant with back and forth.
I don't know. I think he was trying to get
Isaiah Thomas fired.
I don't use data, by the way. I only intuition, so I don't
more
know. So
Mike, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll try and wrap this up one more segment. We're looking for some callers right after the break.
Again, the number is 646-200-3230. Go Knicks.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, I guess we have a caller. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on with Jason and Mike. Who's calling in?
Hey, this is from South Jersey.
I'm sorry,
hey,
this is who?
This is Max from South Jersey.
Oh, Max from South Jersey. How's it going, Max?
Good, man. I just wanted to know, if you guys are successful and James Dolan is able to sell the team, what do you think the new ownership should do to start to get things kind of turned in the right direction?
Well,
I know it's a kind of uphill battle, you know?
Yeah, well, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. what I see as a big problem with James Dolan and the Knicks is, you know, it's a chaotic organization, and, you know, that's because he values the wrong things that win in the NBA. You know, and I know he says he's going to be hands-off, but when you look at what has happened, it's constantly reaching for, you know, overpaying, piecing together free agents, doesn't value
right.
chemistry, hasn't valued putting a team with depth together, you know, trades a lot of drafted players, has to constantly start over because, you know, undervalues chemistry. And I think he's so caught up with winning now. I mean, look what wins in the NBA. You know, look at the teams who have built sustained success right now. Memphis, Golden State, you know, Atlanta, Chicago. You know, I don't see a kind of pieced together free agent team. What I see really is being able to say, you know what, we're going to take a step back and rebuild the right way because, you know, it takes some time to get good. You don't win championships in the NBA. Look who's won titles. You got LeBron teams, you have the Spurs, you know, and you have, you know, mixed in some other teams, you know, a Lakers dynasty. You don't just win titles. So you can't just shoot for the moon to win titles. You have to
right.
build to sustain success. He does not value that, and he will never evolve. So that's my
yeah.
opinion on that.
Well, Max, what do you have in mind, man? Like, what if you won a $5 billion Powerball lottery ticket and you had the money to buy the Knicks, tell me what you would do. And,
I don't know, man. You know, it's an uphill battle. As you guys touched on earlier, it's hard being in the New York market. Fans, you know, a lot of times. Well, at least the perception is that they kind of want that instant success, but I think you guys are right. I think you need ownership that will have the patience to build, you know, to not let go of some of the talent that they've had, you know, over the years. I mean, the guys they've given up to sign these guys, like you guys mentioned, you know. So I think you're right. I think they have to build up, and I think it'll just take some patience, you know.
Max, I'm curious about something also. Why don't you What do you think about this situation with Carmelo playing in the All-Star game? And, you know, give me your thoughts on that because you know, it's something we've been talking about back and forth over here. Just trying to get an idea of the Knicks fan.
Oh, it is.
Feel.
No, I think it's it seems disingenuous to me that he is going to play in this All-Star game and then feel like he's going to shut it down for the season. It makes it look like he doesn't legitimately need that rest. I mean, my take on it is that he's looking to sit out because he is not liking the way the team is this year, and he doesn't want to be part of it, and it just doesn't sit well with me.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Obviously, we touched on that a bit earlier. What do you think of the interview with Irving Bierman?
Irving Bierman, that was great. That was great. I mean, it's amazing that a guy in his 70s, you know, took the time to, you know, find this guy's email and send him this email, and he got this crazy response. I mean, I can't believe that James Dolan doesn't have guys that are proofreading these emails that he sent out. I mean, I hadn't thought of the way you guys had described it before, but that's
Max,
the only explanation.
Max, I got a guy who proofreads my emails. He's called Spellcheck. He's a good friend of mine.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, man.
But,
All right. Yeah. So let's see if we can actually get that break this time. You know, we're gonna try and finish up with one more segment and see if we can get some more callers. Mike, you know, can you drop the number on him again here? You know, so we can get a couple last callers before we head out for the night.
Yeah, sure. The number to call in is 646-200-3230. Give us a call on anything, and we'll be glad to speak to you, especially if you're a Knicks fan. You don't have to be a supporter of us, but if you want to talk Knicks basketball, give a call in. All right, we're back live on Blog Talk Radio. Again, we're with www.knicksforsale.com with Jason Coppell. This is Michael Zucker again. And you know, I was thinking during the break, you know, tell everybody what your plan is if you don't raise the money for the billboard.
Well, if we don't raise the money for the billboard, you're talking about the funds that we've already collected?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like to know what you would do with the money.
I mean, you know, me personally, well first, I mean, obviously we're gonna contact everybody and refund everybody's money and thank them for their support and everything and say, I guess, throw up our hands and say we did our best. Why? What do you got in mind?
Well, you want to get a steak? Or, well, yeah, obviously I would do that, but I was thinking that we could also, anybody down who, you know, maybe kidnap Dolan and tattoo Knicks for Sale on his forehead? Why do we think that is a better billboard? That doesn't really cost, I got just $200.
You know? Well, we're up to $3,000. We can get a pretty big tattoo, I think.
All right, we got a call, and are you on the line? You calling with us?
I guess not.
I thought we had a caller. Anyway, so, you know, the collaboration of callers has obviously been a little choppy. So
yeah.
We apologize. We're doing our best collaborating with who is screening our calls. But, you know, something that I also wanted to just touch upon is, you know, a lot of people, you know, are saying that this is not a good time to be doing this because, you know, we're doing it the right way now. And Phil Jackson seems to be, you know, Dolan's staying out of it, and this is a good offseason. But what, you know, I'm not even going to give that cliche definition of insanity, but why do you trust that James Dolan is going to get it now? I mean, seriously, if someone could tell me, you know, why you'd believe in somebody doing it now the correct way after 15 years of struggles, be my guest. But when he's going to lash out at fans, you know, while he's counting our money, you know, I don't know how you could possibly support him any longer.
Well, look, I mean, we've all been through this before, right? I mean, it's not the first savior, Phil Jackson, that, you know, supposedly was going to be coming in here to solve all the Knicks problems. I mean, you know, Isaiah Thomas was pitched as a savior, and Donnie Walsh was pitched as a savior. Donnie Walsh was actually doing a good job, but was chased out of town, you know, by being forced to trade all his assets by James Dolan for a half a season extra of Carmelo Anthony. I mean, we could have just signed him as a free agent, right? You know, we didn't have to give away all his assets for him. If Carmelo really wanted to be on a winner, he could have held off, and you know, and he could have just signed with us as a free agent, and he could have you know, basically been on a more complete team and had a better chance to win. All he would have had to do is take less money.
I mean, I think, you know, it was a little ill-advised, the expectations of Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony is a great player, especially on the offensive side of the ball, statistically. But Carmelo Anthony is not going to elevate your team. He's going to be a tremendous scorer. He's going to be a guy that you want to have the ball in. You know, but as far as building a team around Carmelo Anthony, you're not going to win the right point guard play around him, you know, the right veteran leadership around him, guys who can play defense. Carmelo Anthony is not the centerpiece savior that I think Dolan thought he was when he stepped in and made sure that we traded for him. And with that 1 year, when they won 50 games with Carmelo, they had veteran leadership. They had guys like Wallace and Camby and even Kurtz, guys who didn't, Kenyon Martin, big guy, Tyson Chandler. Regardless of their production, you know, there was depth and leadership. You had point guard play from, you know, a veteran like Jason Kidd who understands score spacing and distributing the ball. And Felton, say whatever you want about him, he's better than anybody they've had since or, you know, even before that. And, you know, guys like Novak. My point is,
Felton too much credit, man. Felton had what? He had a good season.
He was a piece to a deep unit.
I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Look, he's no Charlie Ward, but, you know, who is?
Hubert Davis.
Chris,
yeah.
Childs.
Yeah, and you know, give me one of those old guys from the 90s. Give me a Derek Harper or a, you know, a Rolando Blackman.
Give me a Charles Oakley, who happens to be a huge supporter of what we're doing. He hates Dolan,
oh,
by the way.
God, could Charles Oakley be any more lovable as a player, but I didn't think that I could possibly love Charles Oakley anymore until the other day when he just started slamming Dolan left and right. I mean, he said he's been paying for tickets ever since.
I love Charles Oakley. I have a great Charles Oakley story. If you guys want to take a seat and then listen for a second, there's a famous Charles Oakley story where it was the All-Star game, and Pat Riley was coaching for the East. It was 95, the year after they went to the finals. And Pat Riley didn't play him a ton in the All-Star game. And so Larry Johnson, then a member of the Hornets, said, yeah, but next time we play them, I'm getting 50. And they asked Charles Oakley, Larry Johnson said next time he plays you guys, he's getting 50 on you. And Charles Oakley says, yeah, he's getting 50. He's getting 50 stitches. That's the 90s Knicks, and that's the Charles Oakley that I love. The support from Charles Oakley, that's great. We love if Spike Lee would support us. I think he's probably sick of changing courtside jerseys he wears every 2 years. But, one other thing, and I think that's important. People say, you know, this is a waste of money, and you shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, there's other causes. My one opinion on that is I understand that there's the $20,000 elsewhere could be more, you know, more beneficial. But why are you coming after the fans who are just supporting, fan power and passionate fan voice? You're coming after us. But you're not coming after James Dolan, who charges the highest ticket prices in the NBA for the worst team in the NBA. Why don't you go try to tell him to lower ticket prices $10 each?
Well, not only that,
he's going to come after us.
But you're going after people who are spending $25, $50 to support something that they believe in, and that's absurd. I mean, you know, $25, $50, you know, when you look at it as a group, when it equals $20,000, it looks like a huge chunk of change. You know, $25, $50 a person, that's the equivalent of going to going to the beer line at Madison Square Garden and lecturing everybody who's buying a couple beers that they'd be better off donating that money to charity. And I don't see anyone doing that, you know. So the fact of the matter is, this is America. Nobody's going to tell people how to spend their hard-earned money. And you know, we're not forcing anybody to give us money. We're not, you know, we presented an idea just like we did with the IZA campaign, and we asked if anybody else, wanted to get involved. People got involved in their own free will, and at the end of the day. We delivered every single thing that we said we would and then some in the IZA campaign. We built up a trust. People knew that we basically, when that our word is our bond, and if we say we're going to do something, we do it. And, I take issue with any person who tells us that we should be donating the money to charity because, to be quite frank, and we try not to speak about this as much as possible, but I feel like I have to when people say it. We donated over $1,000 to pediatric cancer research on the IZA campaign. And, basically we just wanted to make sure that, that besides, all the football stuff and the Jet stuff that, we try to do a nice thing. People just, for whatever reason, they that's their go-to line. You know, what? That's a big waste of time and a big waste of money. Well, you know what? It's not a waste of your time and it's not a waste of your money. And anybody who's put money into it, I've never heard one complaint. You find me one person online, find me one person anywhere that regret and feels like they didn't get their money's worth on that IZA campaign. Am I right, Mike? I mean.
Well, we'll see this season. We'll see if the quarterback play can get better and, look, the last thing that we want to do is start putting billboards up.
Yeah.
We want to win. So we're not looking to get attention and to just say, let's just troll these owners and go for their head. No. We're doing it because we're passionate about the team, and now we have the platform where media people want to talk to us, so we have to feel a responsibility to share our opinion about it.
Our producer's telling us that we got somebody on the line right now. It's been sitting on the line for a while. Are you there? I don't know. I mean, I guess somebody likes to call in and listen. I'm not sure what that's about.
Someone can speak, but I love to hear myself talk all day, so if you don't want to talk, then I can just ramble. But I think this, you know, just another thing that I want to just say also is when it is the off season and everyone's so excited about, you know, we've emptied, you know, a lot of the roster positions, who are we going to bring in that's going to turn this around? Or is it going to be, you know, 3 years is going to be the same thing? I want to know, is Carmelo Anthony and a top five pick and a Marcus Gasol going to make you contender right away? No, I want to know, you know, what people's opinions on what's going to turn it around, because I've given my opinion on how you build from the ground up and how Dolan never seems to value that. I want to know, you know, people who disagree with us, or what's the strategy? Because I don't see this offseason's free agency being a savior of an offseason. We've seen that play out before.
Yeah, well, I mean, the answer is, in my opinion, you know, New York Knicks basketball, the way that I grew up watching it, and the way that I feel like it should be played, is a defensive game, and we need to bring in guys who play defense. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of you know, seeing Amari Stoudemire waving on, you know, letting people go right. I'm sick and tired of, you know, the terrible defense, the, you know, and you know, the lack of attention to detail on the defensive end. It's just gotten to be like, you know, it's not the Knicks that we grew up watching. It's not the Knicks that we knew, and it's been like that for quite some time. I mean, you know, a Marc Gasol, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't. It'll be interesting, and I do want to see what Phil Jackson has in mind. I mean, obviously, as Phil Jackson, who I give credit to. See, now, a guy like John Izzy can take a lesson from a guy like Phil Jackson, because when Phil Jackson was approached halfway through the season, just like John Izzy was, and was asked about the team's performance, he didn't go out and say something ridiculous like, oh, you should see how hard everyone's playing in practice, you know, everyone's trying their best, James Dolan's great, the coaches are great, everyone's great. He said, everything that I have tried has fallen right on, you know, has been a complete disaster, basically. And, you know, credit to him for being able to look at himself in the mirror and, you know, and basically,
the mirrors that are that high up for him is like 6'6" or whatever.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, there's buildings that are
that was a great joke, people. I
but
love it.
Anyway, so you know, credit to him for being able to do that, and that type of accountability, especially you know, being able to reflect on their own performance, earns you the right to continue, because it shows that, you know, that you realize that what you were doing hasn't worked so far, and that you plan on making changes and fixes. And, you know, I guess obviously Phil Jackson has a much longer track record of success. And I mean, obviously it had no track record at whatsoever, but you know, you give him the benefit of the doubt. And so, you know, this doesn't fall on Phil Jackson. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what he has in mind for the offseason. I mean, we got a pivotal offseason coming up. You know, it gets no bigger than what we got going on this offseason, because if we blow this one, Mike, I mean, if we blow this one and things don't work out with Phil Jackson, where are we going from here? I mean, really, like, what? Well, Phil Jackson, let's say this offseason doesn't work out. We don't bring any free agents we want. The team's a disaster again next year. We got a couple overpriced guys that we had to overpay just to get in, just for fan appeasement. And the team falls on its flat on its face for the next 2 years. Phil Jackson, I'm giving you worst case scenario. Phil Jackson starts with 2 years left on his contract to go back to LA.
But see, normally I wouldn't think that they need to just rebuild. They're going to get a high draft pick. They might get the number one pick. They need this regime with the Melo. And look, I think Melo is a great player. They need to start over and blow it up, and, you know, and lower the ticket prices.
I know, but we're still, yeah, I agree with that, but we're still paying the price for all of our past indiscretions, because we don't even have a 2016 first-round draft pick. So
let's learn our lesson and just do it differently.
And so what, so we can have a good team to watch in 2019?
Well, that's probably what it's going to be anyway, because how do you read the, look at the teams that I just mentioned before, the, you know, Golden State, and now Houston, and now you know, you think of, you know, teams like Chicago was bad for a long time. Memphis was bad for a long time. It is hard to win a title. The Pacers, you know, they had had some sustained success recently. It takes time.
Right.
Look at you know, the one time that's loading up in free agency and getting a big three, you know, LeBron is an outlier. It worked in Boston once. They won one title, but they also had Rondo and guys like Perkins and success. They had real depth. And they're lucky they won that title because look how it's crippled them now. I don't want to build a team like that.
Yeah, the Nets
tried
to do it.
Take some time to step back and rebuild the right way and rebuild a team that can not rely on one guy, learn to play together. And then in 5 years, it'll be worth it. Not saying that, you know, like, if we're bad for a couple of years, it's fine. But then as long as moving forward, it's the right way to sustain success. I keep saying that, but, you know, just having a guy like Melo and Stoudemire, you know, a few playoff runs and then fizzling out and now we start over, you know, that's instant gratification, shooting for the moon, you know, throwing the Hail Mary on first down. I don't like that.
Is that what you call those, a couple playoff runs?
It's so sad that it's come
one,
to that.
We won one playoff round and those are playoff runs?
All right. You know what? Okay, they won one series in the last 15 years. Okay. Exactly. So there you go. So that's how much that worked. I think we have a caller in. You on the line?
I don't know what's going on with the phone tonight. All right, listen, Mike, we're going to wrap this up here. You know, this was a fun first show, and we look forward to doing this, every week. And, you know, this was great. So we appreciate the callers. We appreciate, you know, Justice, our producer. Oh, look, we got one last caller we'll take here.
All right. Hello?
Yes. Who's on the line?
Yeah, how are you doing? This is Payne Daniel from Parts Unknown.
Oh, how's it going, man?
Not too bad. Hey, so I think the whole biggest impact and shock in this whole letter and this whole dilemma is going to be the impact it's going to have on free agency again. You know, what player in their right mind is going to still want to come to the Knicks with this guy behind the wheel? You've got owners in the league like Mark Cuban, Pete Ballmer and everything, and then you got James Dolan who, you know, opens up for the Eagles and plays deep to view in his bands in the stadium that's shown. So, you know, it's just another layer of incompetence on this.
Is this D-Pain right now I'm talking to?
Excuse me?
Is this D-Pain on the line?
This is D-Pain. This is it.
Oh, my goodness. This is a special friend of Knicks for Sale. This is the this is Timothy McJay, the truth bomber on the line. Thank you for joining us. I completely agree with you because this is such a chaotic organization. The people are just like, no thanks. It's like the girl who – it's like the person who's been divorced so many – you can only get divorced so many times before you kind of seem a little undateable. And that's what it kind of seems like with the Knicks.
Well, I'll tell you what else is funny, since you brought up that point, is the amazing thing is that detractors of our Knicks for Sale campaign, the first thing that they say to us is, you know, that thinks that what we're doing is wrong. They say, well, what are you guys doing? This is a big offseason we have coming up, and you guys are going to scare away free agents. And I laugh at them, and I say, there's not one free agent who's going to be scared off by the passionate New York Knicks fans. The New York Knicks fans are probably the biggest selling point of this dumpster fire of an organization, okay? The fact that we've supported this team to no end, the fact that we supported this disaster to no end and continue to go to games and Madison Square Garden, you know, exists and that atmosphere, which obviously is not what it used to be, but you know, I believe can be rekindled. You know, we're not the problem. The fans who are trying to hold this ridiculous owner accountable. The problem. You know, for free agents, for people who are looking to come in, is you know, we have a buffoon as an owner who is meddling and ridiculous ways, is constantly showing up in absurd ways in the media and making this team look ridiculous, but firing you know, security guards for not recognizing, throwing fans out of the game for saying that Carmelo Anthony stinks and calling his employer the next day to say he was drunk and getting him fired.
Resembling an Ewok.
Yeah,
I don't think that helps.
No, I don't think that is ridiculous, man. first of all, I've never listened to my life. And this, I mean, this isn't why we want him done, but I can't take it anymore. I saw for the first time the other night on YouTube his ridiculous band, and he's out there singing and trying to make him, you know, trying to make a music for. I don't know what he's doing, but he's got, you know, he's telling bands that they want to play it at Madison Square Garden, and they got to let him open, and you know, just all this nonsense. I mean, you know, I've had enough of the guy. Just get him out of here. I mean.
He's going on Good Morning America. He's doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. He's playing with his band. He's doing all that stuff. My biggest fear is that we're dealing with someone who's weapons grade incompetent. It's not only that he's such a boob and he's such a goon. Is he literally makes talented people worse around him as well? I think the real litmus test is going to be seeing what happens with Phil. But if history is any indicator, he's going to completely negate his skills and his acumen, and you know, we're still going to have the same product another 15 years down the road.
Exactly.
You know,
it's the infrastructure of the organization and the leadership at top trickles down. And, like, you know, people, you know, oh, Isaiah's stupid or Donnie Walsh is stupid. They've had the pressure of being in a terribly run organization for over a decade, and that's why people say, oh, Dolan's out of the picture. Yeah, I'll wait. I'll believe that when I see it.
Not going to hold my breath.
That's exactly my point. It's like, you know, it's almost insane to think that James Dolan has all of a sudden, like, all the other times he's created this pattern where this is what he does, and now all of a sudden he just gets it. And that's not, I mean, come on. I mean, it's just not realistic. If it happens, I will be the first one to put right up on the website, we were wrong. And I'll be happy to be wrong. I hope that that's the case. We're Knicks fans and we want to see a winner. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, our platform can only help, right? I mean, you know, it's like if we get this billboard up, is he going to sell the team? Of course he's not going to sell the team. Why would he? He's making a fortune off of it, and he obviously loves owning the team. He doesn't give a crap what we say. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we continually embarrass him when he embarrasses us, at least it keeps him in check, you know. And you know, he doesn't want to see a billboard. I'll tell you what, when I talk to, you know, some of the guys in the advertising world, you know, that got involved in these billboards, I'll tell you, you know, I know for a fact when the Nets put up the billboard, right when Prokhorov bought the team, when he put up the billboard right outside of Madison Square Garden, about a change in culture, and
I must break you.
Yeah, and the Knicks, the Nets taking over New York, it drove Dolan insane looking at that outside of the Garden every day. It was, you know, the things that I heard that Dolan that Dolan was saying and doing. I mean, he was enraged with it, and so to have a billboard directly calling him out outright, you know, two blocks away from the Garden, is going to make him angry. So, you know. We're gonna do what we gotta do, and you know, we're hoping that people get behind it. If they don't, then then no harm, no foul. We made our point. You know, this thing's got, you know, some national exposure, and we said what we had to say. But we're hoping fans get behind it. We're gonna be out there on the streets outside the All Star Game promoting it.
So we're gonna wrap this up. We really appreciate your time. We're jam packed. You know, this hour flew by, and you know, we appreciate the calls. We appreciate Irving Bierman, all the callers who came in and voiced their opinion. And just to wrap it up, you know, my last point is, if you don't want to donate, that's fine. But understand, you know, the big picture of just why we're doing this. You know, we just have a platform more than ever where people can listen and interact. And, you know, we have a voice out there. And we just want to, you know, be able to use that to, at the very least, you know, just voice our opinion and our passion for the teams that we care about. That's really all this is about. So, you know, I just hope that, you know, people understand why we're doing it. And it's because, you know, we care about these teams.
Got it. And, you know, I'll sign off by saying, what do you think Carmelo's stat line is going to look like? Is he going to win the MVP of the All-Star game? What do you think? You know, he's going to be hucking up 47 shots. He's going to try. This is nice.
Carmelo can go up at any point and, you know, go crazy. I don't think he's going to want to play enough because I think he's, you know, he doesn't want to get hurt. I think he kind of wants to, like, go on the court, play with the big boys now.
What's the over-under on the amount of catches he throws in the All-Star game?
Three. If he gets the ball, if he's 50 feet away, he's going to do a pivot foot shuffle and then a jumper.
Phil Jackson's proposed four-point shots. Oh man. All right. Well, listen, thanks to all the callers. Thank you to all the listeners. We appreciate the time, everyone. You know, have a great All-Star weekend.
One last shout out to everybody at Field Goal Unit. You know, you can't see me, but I'm throwing up posts for you. I had to just give a little shout out. That's my last thing in there.
Shout outs are fine. So, yeah, everybody, thanks for calling, and, you know, everyone, have a great weekend.
Peace. Shaka Khan.